So, anyway, just praise the Lord for that and for your prayers. You had a part in it. So, anyone else have a praise from this past week or a prayer request? Yes, sir. Okay. Man. Those motorcycle accidents aren't fun, so. Okay. Oh, wow. Okay. Well, that might change. We'll pray for Chris Johnson in a motorcycle accident. A broken pelvis. I pray for his recovery and Lord provision for them during that. So it's good. Anyone else? Yes, Chelsea. Okay. All right. So appointments for Shelley. And just praise God that you've been getting some good news or in that term. So we'll pray that that will be. All right. Next, anyone else? Oh, yes, sir, Avery. Okay, I did not know that. Okay, we're praying for Stacy Moore, and she's been dealing with cancer, and so she's on hospice now. So continue to pray for her. It's good. Thank you for that. All right, anyone else? Yes. Okay. Okay. So Uniontown is up and running in school for Wednesday. Pray for Kara and Sierra as they minister there. So good. Okay. All right. Yeah, let's pray for it. Okay, yeah, just not feeling up to it. So, yeah, let's pray for Ernie. That God will give her strength today. That's good. Yes, Carrie? Okay. Sure. Yeah, okay, very good. Let's continue to pray for grandkids there, Ellie and Rye, and for God to further his work, and so salvation if need be there. So, very good. I appreciate your prayers for Alan and his family, trying to. We've had a couple cancellations, and last week he canceled me for me, so I'd hate for, boy, if they canceled today, my heart would sink. So I just really would love to have that third lesson today in the Bible study, so just appreciate your prayers for that. This afternoon, 3 o'clock, so yes.
A friend of ours was in a terrible, what they call it, school accident. He just graduated high school. Mary Eastwood's grandson. He's in the hospital somehow, and still unconscious. Multiple fractures in his skull. It's been, I don't know, Ray knows anything about it at all. It could be Gordon's cousin.
Okay.
He's still unconscious, so it's been 2 weeks since he
has. Okay, oh wow. Cole?
K-O-A-L. He just graduated high school, football star.
Hmm.
Okay.
Oh, my.
Very
okay, so Charlotte just asking prayer for a friend's grandson, Mary Eastwood Cole, and unconscious for 2 weeks after a major accident. So would pray the Lord will raise him up. So, yes.
I'm waiting for an appointment with the back surgeon.
Okay.
Okay, don't need your surgery skills.
Okay. Okay, so pray for Joyce. She has an appointment with a back surgeon. The Lord will give guidance there. So, yes, hello. Okay. Okay. All right. So, Shelly's stepmother passed away, and the funeral's here on Thursday. So, be in prayer for opportunity for evangelism or meet that need. So, yes, Kristen. Hmm. Oh. Okay, wow. Pray for the young family dealing with the sorrow of a miscarriage, and then also a young girl at the ER needing staples in her head. So, ouch, whew, all in the same day. So, that's very tough. Hmm. Anyone else? Any other burden you want to be prayed for? Yes, Jenny? Okay. Hmm. Okay. All right. So pray for the Lord to preserve you guys as you clean out this house, and the Lord's given you the opportunity to reclaim it. So I pray that that goes well. So. All right. Anyone else? I see that hand. Oh. Okay. Yeah. So that would be neat. That could. He'd still be willing. Pray for Joe. Worked at the jail and the connection there. So I did find out this week that Cade, who had trusted the Lord a couple weeks ago and had several Bible studies with, ended up having, while I was gone, had to be moved, transferred to Lawrence because he needed a surgery. And so he's not there, but his grandmother called me. And so she was really excited, but anyway, to talk, and it was just very encouraging call to see she is a believer, and the study Bible that I recommended for him, so she was going to buy what I recommended, was the very study Bible that she had, and so she was excited about that, and it was just kind of a neat aspect of, you know, she just was so, couldn't believe what God, she's having conversations with him, and he's talking about the Word, and what he's reading, and so just neat to that he's taught. He said he wants to come when he gets out at some point to come back and visit us here. So I would think that'd be so neat. So, but I want to continue to pray for Cade and his walk with the Lord. Cade, yeah. K-E-I-D-E, I think it is. Yeah, it's kind of odd. So, Cade Jones. So, but not odd, but unique. There we go. That's the word I'm looking for. Yes, Elsa.
Reaching out to Amish around this community here in different ways. You know, I've been buying like cow's milk from the one family, and then I've been able to help them to get to some supplements. Some other ones that have, you know, were ill, one of know, doing some natural stuff and so on. And we had good results. So I'm building friendship, and I have a few times I have given out some brochures, Christian tracts and things like that. So my goal is to really make friendship and hopefully, be able to successfully do gospel. And also prayer to how to do about it.
Mm-hmm.
And learning how, what their beliefs is and how they believe. I mean, I have a good idea.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Anyway, so I'm building friendship.
Amen. Amen. Very good. Yeah, tough mission field, but yep, we rely upon the same Holy Spirit to lead us in that. So.
And I told to my family that if I would, die unexpectedly, I would like to have
a
funeral.
Oh, amen. Wonderful. Yeah, that'd be great. Have a free band pickup. Go.
Leg. My mom has been in bed for 16 years, and she has very badly osteoporosis. That was the cause of the first break.
Okay.
She hadn't been walking since then, and just a few weeks ago, they realized it was broken. Nobody knows how.
Oh.
Soon it's just brittle, and in the wrong move, it broke. And so, her just celebrated 94 years old. Age like that sometimes is something for us young people, a minor thing, but for older people, it could just bring them to the grave.
Okay, wow, yeah. So,
I really, and Isabel and I have actually planned a trip to Paraguay in December.
Okay.
So, it's just praying that my mother would make it through that time. And
okay.
Isabel really would be so.
Okay. Yes, yeah. Okay, yeah, let's continue. Let's pray for Elsa's mother with a broken leg and late stage in life. The Lord will preserve us for this trip. And God knows your desire, and pray that that would be according to his will. So, be good. Very good. Anyone else? Yes, sir, Roger. That's right. Yep.
And also my wife's back issues.
Okay. All right, okay. Well, continue to pray for Linda and the appointment, maybe find some relief here for her back, so that'd be good. Pray for Cherish. She takes off next week and the Geyers take her up to North Dakota. So, and the Lord will give you grace as I know it's a. I remember that. Remember those days. Feels a little longer now, but still kind of feels like yesterday. And God's faithful. He really is. So. Yes, Angela. Okay. All right. We'll pray for Josh. Not feeling well. Thank you. And Christopher. Yeah. Okay, anyone else? Yes, sir, Tom?
Traveling next week to Western.
Okay. Tom and Mickey be traveling, so. Western Kansas. All right, anyone else? All right, we'll go ahead and take our Bibles then, and we'll turn to Philippians. Philippians. Philippians chapter 2. Now, I know I've told this story before. I don't know why it has to be told again and again, but it kind of comes up as a... So forgive me if you remember it, but my wife and I were driving down Highway 74 in North Carolina. And I remember to this very day. We were in a substantial rainstorm, and we were on our way to church, so I slowed down a little bit to, but, you know, we got to get there. You know, we got certain, you know, you don't be late to church. So we kept a little decent head of steam, and excess of water began to build up on the groove of my tires. And I was having a conversation with my wife, and I was telling her, I was instructing her how to drive, the finer points of driving in the rain while it's coming down. And in the middle of that self-confident boasting, we hit a slick spot in the road, and I had that dreaded feeling in which your steering wheel is not impacting what's happening. And we just started going toward, and I'm like, I'm turning, and we're still going right towards the middle median. We hydroplane right into that, and the median didn't have a hard guardrail. It had these cabled guardrails as you go along through there. That kind of looked pretty flimsy, but it actually worked pretty good. it caught us, and we felt like went, ooh. It wasn't like a boom. We just kind of came to a stop. We had Samuel was born, and we were expecting Isaiah at the time. And we were very grateful for those things, because that keeps you from going across the median. Did you know that it costs $300 for each one of those little poles to get broken off? I found out. So, you know, I was like, I stop and pause anytime I might be driving and instruct someone else. This is how it's done. You know, there are many people in this world who are boasters. Maybe they boast about what they have accomplished, what they have done, the trophies in their case, the exalted memories maybe of the past. Maybe it's someone who boasts in what they can do. They've got a special skill. They've got incredible strength. And then there's those who will boast in what they will do. And usually don't. there are those who boast in what they have. Their knowledge, their possessions, their riches. There are those who boast in who they are, position, status, rank achieved. And yet the Bible tells us, let another man praise thee, and not thine own mouth, a stranger, and not thine own lips. We learn from experience, just personal experience, that boasting is odious to people. You get around someone who boasts, and you're like, eh, you're not drawn to that kind of person. But we learn from God's word that boasting is odious to God. And so, interestingly enough, the topic of our sermon here today, or at least in terms of what we're studying in our Sunday school hour, is that not all boasting is bad. And exactly what he's calling for us here in verse 16, we've seen what kind of life we're supposed to live, a blameless life, what kind of ministry we're supposed to have, holding forth the word of life, and then he says, that I may rejoice. And that word rejoice is not necessarily the same word as rejoicing in each of these contexts. So if you were to look down at chapter 3, verse 1, finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. They are certainly connected, but they're different words. And the same word that's used here is in chapter 3, verse 3. We rejoice in Christ Jesus. And so I think of this beautiful passage in Jeremiah 9, where he says, let not the wise man glory. And that's the idea behind this word of rejoicing. You're confident. You're boasting. You're glorying in something. Let not the mighty man glory in his might, nor let the rich man glory in his riches. But let him that glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me, that I am the Lord, which exercise loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, saith the Lord. All right, so we have to look at and say, what is the proper object of boasting? What is it that the Bible says we can, not only can, but should be boasting in? And we find this word, the rejoicing or boasting here, occurs three times in Philippians. The one we just read, the one you just saw in chapter 3, and then you can look back at chapter 1. Verse 26. He says, I know that I shall abide and continue with you all for your furtherance and joy of faith. Verse 26. That your rejoicing may be more abundant in Jesus Christ. So, each one of these, in I think chapter 3, verse 3, and chapter 1, verse 26, makes it abundantly clear the proper object of boasting is in Jesus Christ and what He has done. And so that makes sense to us, aligns with the scripture like 2 Corinthians 10:17, He that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. And so I think there is a really strong connection here between the rejoicing that we have, the feelings of joy in the Lord, and the confidence that we have in Him that causes us to be able to boast. You say, what have we been called for in this epistle so far to rejoice in? Well, it's God who worketh in you, both to will and to do of His good pleasure. God's at work. We saw this at the very beginning. His confidence in those believers was that He that hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. This is what gave Him confidence when He was imprisoned. Everything was going against Him, and yet He said all of everything is actually falling out to the furtherance of the gospel because of my Lord Jesus Christ. God was at work through His testimony in chapter 1, verse 18, where He says, I've got this, what either way, in pretense or truth, Christ is preached, and He says, I rejoice in this. It gives them confidence to know that God was going to be at work. His expectation was that Christ would be magnified in His body in that context. And He was confident in chapter 1, verse 26, that God would release Him so that those believers would be boasting in Jesus Christ. This element of we're looking to say, why should we rejoice in Jesus today? Because God is at work in Jesus Christ, in our lives, in the lives all around us. God is moving. But we also not only rejoice in the work of Christ, but we also rejoice in the authority of Jesus Christ. We see here in chapter 's interesting, throughout this book, it's going to emphasize from this point forward, there's a special title that receives emphasis. And we saw this from chapter 2. And God's highly exalted Jesus Christ, given Him a name that no other name has, that every tongue would confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And so when we are called, it's interesting, He says, rejoice in the Lord. And it's easy for us just to use that terminology, and I say, oh, that's just a secondhand way of referring to Jesus. But it's referring to Him in His exalted position in light of all that He's done for us. God has lifted Him up. And so this phrase here, He says, that I may rejoice. That word that has the idea of the ultimate end. The ultimate goal that God has for us is that we would rejoice in Jesus Christ. Remember how last couple weeks ago, it's too long for us to remember, I guess. But in chapter 3, we parallel these five verses with chapter 1 and His prayer. There was the contrast of the blamelessness and the working of the righteousness within us. And so this little connecting phrase that actually occurs in chapter 1 in His prayer. In verse 11, He says, being filled with the fruits of righteousness which are by Jesus Christ unto, here's the ultimate end, unto the glory and praise of God. So from taking this one little phrase, okay, this is an unusual little preposition that lets you know that here's the end goal that God has. So now we understand from chapter 1, compared with chapter 2, that boasting in Jesus is the same thing as praising and glorifying God the Father. And so we can come back to this and see, He says, the ultimate goal of you living the life that God wants you to live is so that I may rejoice in the day of Christ. He is rejoicing now, I think in some sense, anticipating that future day. But then in the fullness, when Jesus Christ is acknowledged for his lordship, those people, through what God has done in their life, working in them, changing them, transforming them, using them, the Apostle Paul is going to be there and he is going to boast. Not saying, I had a part. He's going to be saying, Jesus Christ has done this work. And so this is what he is pointing to. And so the key theme of rejoicing is what Paul is using to motivate these believers to live the lifestyle that he has called them to live, because this future day is coming. So we see that there is the proper object of the boasting, and that is in Jesus Christ. And then I want us to see the personal basis for boasting. There is a personal aspect to this. He says, not that we may rejoice, that you may rejoice. He says that I may rejoice. All right, so he is personally involved. He will have a special claim to glorify God because of the work that is being done in their lives. He has had a part of it. And there is a personal aspect to this. What gives someone... I think part of what's going on here is he is motivating the purity of life that we have just seen. Remember that he is bringing, in these few verses from 16 to 18, he is basically bringing the first section to a close. He's going to transition back into personal testimony and finish chapter 2. And he's going to finish with one final topic in chapter 3 and 4. And so this is kind of the opening section of the book, goes from chapter 1 to chapter 2. So it's all bringing it together. And we've seen that according to this, what's he been trying to communicate all along, the first command, make sure that your life is lived according to the gospel. It has to, the standard of our existence, how we make our choices, is the gospel of Jesus Christ. And what does the gospel demand out of us? It demands that we have unity of purpose and action. It demands that we have rejoicing in the midst of suffering. It demands that we abandon all self-will and strife and pursuit of self-glory or vainglory. The gospel demands humility and obedience to God like Jesus Christ. The gospel demands that we do all things without murmurings and disputing. It demands that we live a pure life that is blameless and harmless, unmixed in motive and character, without rebuke, as the sons of God. This is what the gospel, he's laying it out. He's using all these terms. We're putting them all together now. And so in this distinct way of living, we are to have an impact on the world, a ministry to the world, holding forth the word of life. So these believers are to work out their own salvation with fear and trembling, evidencing the working of God that is already in their midst. When that takes place, when they're obedient to these commands and are walking according to the gospel, then Paul will have reason to boast in Jesus Christ. And so he's calling them to all of this, just rallying to this element. He says, so the point is that they would be motivated for the glory of Christ, motivated for someone else to be able to praise God on their behalf. And so the hallmark of Jesus Christ working really is a purity of life that conforms us to the gospel. So there is this element of these are the things we must do, but there's also a life of ministry that the Apostle Paul has lived here. And we're going to focus in on all of these words. He says, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. Yea, and if I be offered upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, I joy and rejoice with you all. For the same cause also do ye joy and rejoice with me. So the Apostle Paul has invested in these. He has run a race. He has offered himself as a sacrifice. If you want to boast in Christ, If you want to have something in the judgment day to be able to praise God and rejoice in Him specifically, you must live a life of ministry. You must be investing in other people, because you're not going to be rejoicing in what God has done through someone else. You're going to be boasting in Christ and what God has done through you. All right, so this is the focus in on, he's saying, I have labored. I have done these things with you. Romans 15:18 says, I will not dare to speak of any of those things which Christ hath not wrought by me. And so this is, you want to have a share. You want to have a part in the glory of Jesus Christ in that judgment day. And so his focus was on the future. You think about the Apostle Paul, the way he lived day to day. He was not thinking about his own plans. He was primarily focusing on a future day, the day of Christ. And everything, how am I preparing for that future, for that day of accountability? And he said he wanted to rejoice in that day because of what God had done through him. All right, so I think the context here is very clear that this, he's calling for them to have a ministry of shining as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life. So if you want to have this kind of ministry, if you want to have a part of the rejoicing in Jesus Christ day, it's going to cost you something. We see in all of these verbs that he's using that there is a cost to ministry. If you're going to minister with people, let's say, Elsa, let's use you as an example here. Reaching out to Amish people, befriending them. What our goal is for someone to be saved, gloriously transformed, prepared for that, teaching them all things which Christ has commanded. That is our goal there, and it would be wonderful if we just went around and the first time you talked to someone, they got saved. The person over here, they get saved. It doesn't work like that. I mean, we try. We go door. We knock on their doors. We present the gospel to them. I'm not saying it doesn't happen. I'm not saying we don't try to do those things. I'm just saying many times you realize when you get into ministry, it's a long haul. It would be easy if my life just consisted of tell people the truth, walk away, right? That's not what God calls us to do. Jesus didn't live that way with his disciples. They lived with him. They learned of him, his spirit. And it takes investing in people. It takes loving people. It takes love. It takes a greater amount of sacrifice. And really, evangelism, in many ways, is more costly than what we're often willing to give. The Apostle Paul referred to ministry, he says, as running. How many of you love to run marathons? You love running 5 miles like that? Somebody in here, oh yeah, he's in the back. Kaylee tricked me into a couple Thanksgivings ago into saying, hey, you want to run with me on this 3K or 5K? I think it was like 5K. Yeah, 5K, that sounds doable, yeah. So we're out there. We got to run all the way down. We're out, start at the high school. We run up, then we cross underneath the highway. Man, it seems so easy when you're in a car. This town is long. Run all the way out to the end there on the street where Taco Bell is and everything like that, and then you turn around. So you run all this way, and you finally reach it. Kaylee passes me up. I get there, and then you get to the middle point, and you realize I got to run the whole thing back. Oh, man, I tell you, someone else was telling me this the other day. They said, yeah, give me a soccer ball, and I can run forever. Just make me run right in front of myself. Oh, man, it's killing me. This is the idea of running and running and running and running. And there comes a point when your body says, enough. Stop. And you still have a long ways to go. And you keep your body under. The entire scope of his ministry was seen as a brutal, long-distance marathon. Did he get tired? Did he want to stop? Absolutely. But he kept on running by the power of the gospel. The next word he uses, neither labored in vain. This word has the aspect of intensity of effort, of weariness. Thankfully, I've come off a work project, so I've got some. I've got the testimonial. I'm telling you, we were working on I think it was day two, and I was in charge of the south side, and we were in the shade. Praise the Lord till about noon. And then the sun went over, and the shade was gone. And the shingles started getting hot, and the work was, they were scraping stuff down, we were putting down, and I was doing some of the finishing work. I'd never done that before, so it was a little bit, but a lot of these young people, it was amazing. Just show them one time, and they were doing stuff that I was doing, so it wasn't that complicated, but I praise the Lord for the work that we had. I wasn't there alone, I don't want to put it that way, but we got to a place, and we got to the finish line, and we were done. This was, we got some corn to shuck, I think, at the beginning of the summer. It was really cute. Elisha was there. I mean, he was like a little machine. We each had these bags of corn. So I was shucking a bag of corn. I shucked a bag of corn, and Elisha shucked a bag of corn. I couldn't believe this. I'm like, what in the world? He was a little worker. He got done with the corn, and Elizabeth said, oh, here's two more, and handed to him. He said, I done. That's exactly the way I felt. 3 o'clock, we had finished the south side, and they said, come over here and help us. I'm thinking, I done. I told him, I said, I think we reached our finish line. No, 3 o'clock wasn't the finish line. We went on another couple hours. Oh, man. This is the idea of weariness. Get up on that hot, I'm thinking, any wrong move on this roof and I'm a goner. And then I reach over here and I go, ah, man, these singles are hot. I reach over here and like, oh, I forgot I had a hole in my pants. And I'm getting frustrated and angry and weary, and the job's not done. Got to keep going. You got to finish the job. It wasn't about clocking in the hours. The job had to be done. And he worked, and he worked, and he worked, and he said, the job's not done, and I've labored, and I'm tired, and I've given excessive effort. This is what ministry was to him. He said he didn't want it to be in vain. Then he describes, of all, you think running a marathon, you're like, okay, maybe I don't want to be a part of ministry. Okay, excessive labor until I don't want to do this. He says that's nothing compared to the third analogy he uses. He says in verse 17, yea, and if I be offered upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, I'm willing to be the sacrifice. Put me up on the altar. Plunge the knife into me. I'll die for your furtherance of the faith and for your encouragement. I pour myself out to the bitter end. That's what ministry is. 2 Corinthians, Paul said, I will very gladly spend and be spent. So you've got a certain currency that you have. And you spend all of your energy currency until you are spent. You've got nothing left. And what's interesting, he says, though the more abundantly I love, the less I be loved. What is ministry? It is loving other people. What is Jesus Christ's example? What did he do? He emptied himself. He poured himself out. You place no limitations on God. You yield yourself and you're willing to be used no matter the cost. This is what ministry is. This is what prepares you to rejoice in the day of Jesus Christ. But then we see the hope of ministry. The hope is that it's not in vain. Oh, I've got lots of verses here that I can't even share with you, but what are the things that can cause something to be in vain? If you believe false doctrine, Galatians talks about that. He says, lest I, by any means, I run or should have run in vain because you take and accept a false gospel. If you forsake the grace of God, he says, the grace was not bestowed upon me in vain. He didn't give me grace and I didn't use it. I labored with it. He said, receive not the grace of God in vain, 2 Corinthians 6:1. The idea here. It's common to feel like you're running and there's no point. It feels like, what's the use? Isaiah 49:4 tells us the feeling of Jesus Christ, the servant, Son of God. What did he say? Then I said, I have labored in vain. and I have spent my strength for naught and in vain. But then he trusted to the Lord. Surely my judgment is with the Lord and my work with my God. I'm trusting him to use it. You know what the Apostle Paul says? Labor for Christ through Christ will never be in vain. The Galatians, he says, I have confidence in you through the Lord. You will not go after that other gospel. For the Thessalonians, he said, yourselves, brethren, know our entrance unto you that it was not in vain. 1 Corinthians 15:58, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. So we have hope because God's at work. Because Jesus Christ is in the work of the people that you're trying to love and minister. You say, it's not in vain that I run and I labor and I can pour myself out. You can't have that labor-intensive work. You'll quit if you don't have hope. And it must be in Jesus Christ. What is the focus of this ministry? It is the sacrifice and service of your faith. The idea of being poured out like a drink offering is the idea of service and sacrifice are all the expressions of a priestly ministry. The element here is every expression of faith in God is a sacrificial service to God. You are a priest before God to minister, to help other people be reconciled to God, and God is using you and all of the efforts of faith in Him to bring them to that place. And so our focus should not be on people. It must be on the Lord. Don't worry about what you will lose, but fasten your gaze upon Him whom you will please. Don't look at the pain and suffering, but the joy that is set before you. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. And what is the outcome of ministry? It is unity. And how do you see that unity? You see it in this way. I do joy and rejoice with you all. I am rejoicing in what God is doing and the work that He's doing, and it's with us. It's a mutual joy. And for the same cause, also, you are rejoicing and joy in me and the work that God's doing in me. And we are tied up in this together, and we are loving one another and rejoicing together in this unity. And if you've got ministry with people and God's doing a work, He is going to unite your hearts in joy. That's what God wants to bring. And ultimately, that's why you are going to rejoice in Jesus Christ. You're going to rejoice in what He has done. Heaven is a place of joy and praise. And those two things are not separated. You know what joy is on steroids? It's praise. It's like the meter. You hit the thing, ding, ring the bell. Joy is ding, and when you hit the bell, it's praise. You get so joyful that you can't do anything but say, God, thank you, and I praise you for what you're doing. And you know what God says? Heaven is filled with God's people praising Him all the time. That doesn't mean we're in a heavenly choir. It means that we're a heavenly choir singing wherever we're at. Because God's given us a joy. And everything that we experience, we can't help but praise Him. Because our joy is overmaxed, and we rejoice in Him. Are you rejoicing in the Lord? You come in today focusing upon Jesus Christ and able to rejoice, boasting in Him, confident in Him. Lift our eyes not off of just people or ourselves or our weariness, but look to the Lord. Manifest the internal working. Let's live for the gospel. Let's allow Him to work in us. Let's live that spotless, pure life. And let's pour ourselves out. Be spent for other people. And we will have cause to rejoice in the day of Christ as well. May the Lord bless you guys and keep you. We'll be dismissed for the morning service.